After speaking with Chris Mooney about his book, The Republican War on Science, we called Robert Walker. During the 2000 presidential campaign, he advised George W. Bush on science and technology policy. Walker is a former congressman from Pennsylvania and was the Republican chair of the House Committee on Science. He's now chairman of the lobbying group Wexler Walker Public Policy Associates. Chris Mooney's main point in his book, The Republican War on Science, is that when it comes to science, the Bush administration is swayed by business interests on the one hand, business interests which don't want to accept studies that might lead to more government regulation. And the Bush administration, on the other hand, is also swayed by Christian groups, groups on the religious right that don't want to accept science that contradicts their fundamentalist biblical views or that contradicts their view of morality. That's the basic premise of the book. What do you have to say to that?
Well, I think it's nonsense. The Bush administration has gone overboard to assure that as science is promulgated, that it is appropriately reviewed. Some of the problems we've had in the past is that scientists have not had the kind of review of their science that it should be done. And in recent years, there has even been suspicion risen about the various peer review panels that scientists depend upon, about whether or not some of them have developed a political agenda, in large part because of the kinds of people who are picked to go on those peer review panels. And so the Bush administration has attempted to provide better review of science, but it is nonsense to suggest that scientists are in any way being handcuffed by a religious right agenda or by a business agenda.
Well, what Chris Mooney says to that in his book is that the process that you're describing means requiring a higher burden of proof before action can be taken to protect public health and environment. And, you know, just like raising the bar to an extent where after scientists are confident of their reports, raising the bar even higher and forcing scientists to go back again, make more reports, thus just putting off regulation. Requiring a higher burden of proof to prevent action from being taken.
Well, again, I mean, I just don't agree with that at all. The problem is that if you come from a left-wing perspective, then any regulation which is written is a good thing. The fact is that we are an over-regulated society at the present time, and instead of eliminating regulations as we promulgate new ones, we simply go on and pile on regulation that, in fact, undermines the public interest. And so much of what has been done here is an attempt to even reform the overall regulatory agenda so that the regulations that we have in place really do serve the public interest. I think that that's what's ignored by a lot of left-wing writers and politicians who simply want to grow government bigger and bigger.
No, you keep referring to the left, but what a lot of scientists would say is that science isn't liberal or conservative. Science is science. There's good science and bad science.
Well, the fact is, though, that they pretty much showed their stripes in this last election when even a lot of the scientific societies in the personages of their leaders lined up for the Kerry campaign and voiced a very, very liberal agenda in what they were saying. The scientists themselves hardly fit that definition of who they are.
Are you saying that most or all scientists are liberal and therefore
no,
we can't trust them?
No, I don't say that at all, except that I will say that a lot of the scientists come out of a lot of the large universities where there is basically left-wing political bias on the campus, and scientists in their science may not see themselves as promoting a political agenda, but they have in fact bought into a political agenda inside the atmosphere in which they operate.
Aren't you saying, in a way, well, scientists are at universities, universities are liberal, scientists are liberal, therefore everything they say has to be taken with a grain of salt? I mean, are you trying to dismiss science by saying liberal, can't trust it?
No, not at all. Again, I mean, that is an accusation that gets made, and that's not the case at all. But scientists then have a burden of proof to assure that the peer review that is done of their science is in fact a peer review of science and not with a political bias to it. During the 1990s, much of the work that was done on global warming, for example, it became highly suspect because it was being done in an atmosphere that anything that you had to say on the formulation of models for global warming was almost accepted out of hand by the government because the review panels did not represent a broad cross-section of the views on that issue. For example, there were a lot of scientists who spoke out on global warming during the 1990s who have no credentials as climatologists whatsoever. They were people, they were social scientists, they were a whole group of scientists who did not have background in the science to which they were speaking.
Whether that is true, you know, if that is true that there were social scientists who spoke out, there were also many climate scientists who spoke out, and those climate scientists seem to pretty much be in agreement that global warming is a major issue, and global warming is a result, at least in part, of human activities.
The climatologists have not come to that conclusion. And if you look at the broad base of climatologists who have spoken out on the issue, they have been very circumspect about what they've said. They do believe that there is a warming trend, but most of them are unwilling at the present time to say that that trend is as a result of some induced activity, that it may well be a part of larger trends, and that's one of the things that needs to be investigated. And that's one of the things where the Bush administration has put a good deal of money, is in trying to figure out just exactly what we're dealing with here. Are we dealing with multi-decadal trends that involve climate being climate, or are we human-related activity which is having a detrimental impact? And a large portion of the climatology community has not yet come to that that conclusion.
Do you think it's a large portion or a minority?
No, I think it's a large portion of climatologists who are not prepared to say that we have global warming and it is absolutely as a result of human activity. You know, the Union of Concerned Scientists and some of the liberal ideology says that, but the climatologists are very, very reluctant to be put in that kind of a position.
You know, when you refer to the Union of Concerned Scientists, the statement that they issued criticizing the Bush administration for manipulating science for political ends, that was signed by about 50 Nobel laureates. Do you feel that all the Nobel laureates' position should be dismissed?
Well, I don't dismiss anybody's position. You know, everybody in our society is perfectly capable of taking a political position, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with people doing that. But let's understand, it's not a science position; it's a political position. The Union of Concerned Scientists, in their reports, engage in politics. And so, do they have some Nobel laureates who agree with them politically? Yes, they do. But let's not confuse politics and science on this.
One criticism I've heard of the Bush administration that certainly Chris Mooney makes in his book is that in most scientific studies, there is a degree of uncertainty because some things are not completely provable. But when that degree of uncertainty is small, you can still proceed and say that this is proven enough. This is pretty scientifically proven. You know, you have to proceed in the face of some degree of uncertainty. What Chris Mooney says in his book, and what I've heard other scientists say, is that the Bush administration exploits that small degree of uncertainty and blows it up and makes it seem like, wow, there's so much uncertainty here. How can we possibly accept this as a conclusion?
Well, it kind of depends upon the magnitude of what you are talking about on uncertainty. If you're talking about uncertainty on relatively small experiments where what you want to do is say, okay, we've got enough evidence here to proceed forward and continue to take a look at this. That's one thing. If you're talking about uncertainty about, for example, global warming, where it could be a multi-hundreds of billions of dollars cost to our economy that you make a judgment on, then you'd better make doggone certain that what you're doing is in fact right. And when you see the models that scientists are depending upon called into question, and it could be a matter of disrupting our economy in favor of Europe, if you sign on to the Kyoto Treaty, then you better be a lot more certain of what you've got, and those uncertainties become pretty important.
In the 2000 presidential campaign, you advised George W. Bush on science policy. I'm wondering what you think of the movement now to teach intelligent design in the schools. Do you think that intelligent design is good science or is even science?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm really not a an expert in intelligent design. I don't think personally that there is anything that is in conflict between evolutionary theory and the Christian belief that there was a creator who was responsible for the beginning of the universe. I think that much of what is in the Bible, all of what's in the Bible, can certainly be reconciled with evolutionary theory as I understand it. And insofar as intelligent design simply allows a better understanding of that relationship between religion and science, I don't see that there's a huge conflict there.
Do you think that intelligent design should be part of a science curriculum in public schools? Schools that are not religious.
Intelligent design, the only statement you have is the president who is asked a question at one point. It is not something where the administration has gone out and pursued a policy on this in any way. The president was asked about it, and he said, sure, both of them ought to be taught, and so on. That's the whole basis of this particular argument. I know of nothing that this administration has done toward trying to push that into the curriculums of the schools. And in all honesty, I think school curriculum ought to be left up to the local people who determine what they want to teach their own kids.
But as a science policy advisor, what is your reaction when you hear the president say that intelligent design should be taught as well as evolution?
Well, what the president really said was that everybody ought to have a chance to hear both sides of the argument, is essentially what he's saying. It is not a bad thing intellectually to have challenges in all areas of life. And so the idea that that we completely understand everything about evolution is highly questionable, and I don't think you'd find many scientists who absolutely believe that we know everything there is to know about evolution. What we do know is that we have got a long history of evolutionary trends that have a good deal of science backing to them. Should people understand that about evolution? Absolutely they should. And it should definitely be taught as a part of the curriculum. But I don't think that evolution ought to be used as a jihad against the people who deeply believe it and have a strong religious faith. And I said before, I don't believe there's a conflict between the two. But the fact is there are some people out there who are trying to create that conflict, and I don't approve of having the conflict.
I think most scientists would say that intelligent design isn't a scientific theory, it's a religious worldview. And that a religious worldview does not belong in a science class and doesn't belong in a public school. Do you think that intelligent design is science or religion?
As I told you before, I'm not an expert on intelligent design in any way, shape, or form. I do believe that those who are out trying to promote an agenda that suggests that evolution is in conflict with the Bible in fact, are doing a disservice. And whether that comes from the scientific community or from the religious community, I think it's a disservice to put the two at odds, where I don't personally see any reason for them to be at odds.
My guest is Robert Walker. In the 2000 presidential campaign, he was the Bush advisor on science and technology issues. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Robert Walker, former Republican chair of the House Committee on Science. During the 2000 presidential campaign, he advised George W. Bush on science and technology policy. We asked him to respond to Chris Mooney, author of the book The Republican War on Science. Let me quote something that you said in September 2004 that's been widely quoted. I'd like to know what you meant when you said it and set the record straight. You said that the scientific community could face, quote, a pushback at some point in the future, unquote, for its criticism of the Bush administration. What did you mean when you said that?
Well, what I said, I didn't say, I think you added a paraphrase on there about the Bush administration. What I said was that scientists, because of their political activity, could in fact face a pushback. And what I meant by that is, if in fact their science and what they have to say on science is judged in the same vein as the way in which they are approaching politics, they are going to lose a lot of the confidence. When they speak as scientists and speak where their expertise is, they, in fact, have a lot of credibility, and over the years have had credibility with me when I was a science chairman and so on. When their science agenda appears to become mixed with their political agenda, then there are people who will raise questions about whether or not they are giving us all the facts and being entirely credible. And that is a concern to me. I mean, I am somebody who believes thoroughly in the investment of science, and I pursued that on Capitol Hill. And when Newt Gingrich was Speaker and I was Chairman of the Science Committee, we began the trend toward moving up the amount of investment this country did in science. And I think that scientists can undermine their own cause by mixing a great deal of political a judgment into their science presentations.
Are you ever concerned that by calling scientists liberal and politicized and therefore biased and not worthy of taking all that seriously, that you are urging people to close their ears and eyes to what scientists are telling them?
No, I'm worried the other way. I'm worried that scientists have in fact created a situation where you will get a vast portion of the population that will say these guys are simply promoting another political agenda, so that when they have something really serious to tell us, the people will be somewhat skeptical of what they say. That's my concern, and that's exactly what I was telling them when I spoke at that point before the AAAS. The AAAS, which, by the way, at the time I spoke, had both its president and its chairman on the Kerry campaign.
And I should mention that the AAAS is the American Association for the Advancement of Science.
Right.
Robert Walker, thank you very much for talking with us.
Okay, sure.
Robert Walker was the science and technology advisor to George W. Bush during the 2000 presidential campaign. He's now chairman of the lobbying group Wexler Walker Public Policy Associates. Earlier, we heard from Chris Mooney, author of the book The Republican War on Science.